Well, as I mentioned, and as you can see, maybe you've heard if you were on connected this past week, we're beginning a new series today on bridges, thinking about bridges, building bridges, and even burning bridges at times. That's the theme. And when I think of bridges, I remember 6.5 years ago when Teresa and I moved to Pittsburgh from Wisconsin, and one of the first things we noticed, of course, is how many bridges there are around here. A lot of bridges. Where else but Pittsburgh would you find a suburb, a borough called Bridgeville? There are a lot of bridges. But when I think of bridges, one of the first things that comes to mind, the bridges that comes to my mind is the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis that collapsed in 2007. I remember that day very vividly. It was August 1st, 2007. The reason I remember the day, that's Teresa's birthday. And we were celebrating her birthday at the home farm with family, and the TV came on, and there's this news, the bridge collapsed. Our son at the time lived, he still lives there in the Twin Cities. He lived about 3 or 4 miles from the bridge. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. The second bridge, the thing that comes to mind for me is Stillwater, Minnesota, a wonderful place. Again, about an hour from where Teresa grew up, where we've lived. We love that area. There's a bridge there that was decades in the making, in the planning. This new Stillwater Bridge that crosses between Minnesota over to Wisconsin, over the St. Croix River. And that bridge replaced the bridge, the iconic lift bridge that was built in 1931. And that bridge replaced a swing bridge that was built in 1875. That bridge is amazing, this new bridge. We've driven across it numerous times now. It's just an amazing bridge. You know, people have been building bridges for a long time. And when we think of roadway bridges, you've been on some amazing bridges too, as I have around the world. They're marvels of engineering and architecture and beauty and function, but they cost a lot of money. Replacing the 35W bridge in Minneapolis cost $234 million. And building that Stillwater Bridge, $700 million to build that bridge. There's a lot of opposition for a number of reasons, and that was one of them. So why spend all that money? Why do we build bridges? Well, imagine Pittsburgh without bridges. It would be a disjointed group of communities, hills, valleys, that were disconnected from one another. And we build bridges to remove an impediment so people can come together, so that we can cross over and be where other people are. Bridges connect people. And as we begin today to think about bridges, I just have to say, if there was ever a time in our nation that we need bridges to bring people together, it's today. Amen? I mean, we desperately need bridges to bring us back together as people. We are divided, and the divisions seem like they're growing wider. They're being exposed in new ways. We're divided over race, over gender politics. We're divided over the economy. And of course, people are stoking this division for their own gain. On one side, people see America as flawed, for sure, but free and a great nation that has done a lot of good. On the other side, we have people who see America as irreparably corrupt and evil and divided, and therefore needs to be destroyed. We have this great division between us. According to one AP report on division in America, it is no longer just Republican versus Democrat or liberal versus conservative. It's the 1% versus the 99%. Rural versus urban. White men against the world. Climate doubters clash with believers. Bathrooms have become battlefields. Borders are battle lines. Sex and race, faith and ethnicity, The melting pot seems to be boiling over. And that's what we're seeing transpire right before our eyes every single day. This division that is among us. We desperately need to build bridges. I'm not a bridge expert by any stretch of the imagination. But what I've read and what I've learned from a couple of sources, one is a bridge I visited down in West Virginia, is that bridges are generally built beginning on each side, and then they build toward the center where they're connected. It's often the way they're constructed. So we have to ask ourselves, what can we do as a people in our nation to tamp down the hate, all the vitriol? How can we tamp that down enough to where we can come together and meet in the middle? How can we do that? It's a very big question, a burning question. And if we don't solve that, if we don't answer that question, I don't know if we'll ever be able to save the nation. But today I want to remind you that before we can ever bring people together with one another, we have to bring people together with God. That's where it has to start. And so today we begin the series on bridges, talking about a bridge to God. Because if we aren't connected to God, then we're never going to be connected to one another. It's not going to work. We need desperately to know God and to allow Him to change us so that we can then be bridge builders to other people. So we begin today talking about a bridge to God. And just talking about that is based upon the assumption that we're separated and divided from God. And we need a bridge to reach Him. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but there is a great chasm between us, between people and God, between man and his maker, between God and us. There's this great divide that is between us. And there's this raging river that flows there. And that river that separates us is sin. It's our sin, my sin, your sin. That's what separates us from God. And you can think of it this way. We're on one side of this great gorge, and God is on the other side, and there's no way to cross over to Him. Isaiah the prophet declared very clearly, he said, your iniquities have separated you from God. It's our sin that has separated us from God. It's interesting when you look at that term used there by Isaiah, separated, and follow its usage through the Old Testament. It's used 42 times, beginning right away in Genesis chapter 1, the account of creation. If you know your Bible and remember the creation account, you'll not be surprised to remember and to think about how it's used. It's used to describe how God, once He created, He separated the what? Light from the darkness. He separated the expanse of water in the sky from the water below. He used this separation to separate day from night. The term is used 5 times right there in the beginning in Genesis 1. There's a separation that we clearly can see and understand. And the very next time it's used, Genesis 1, you go all the way to Exodus chapter 26, verse 33, where Moses is receiving instructions on how to build the tabernacle. Exact details, blueprints of how to build the tabernacle. So can you guess where the term separation was used there? I bet you can, if you think about it. You're right. It's the veil. The veil that was to be constructed and placed within the tabernacle. It says in Exodus 26, where the instruction came, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen with cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman. Hang it with gold hooks. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. And so there it is. The same term Isaiah used to say that our sins have separated us from God. That veil was not just symbolic. It wasn't just a symbolic demonstration of the separation. It was an actual physical barrier to prevent people from coming into the very holiness of God. And we know that on several occasions that occurred, people were stricken dead immediately. And we sang today about the holiness of God. He is a holy God. And our sin separates us from Him. That veil is the same veil that was torn from top to bottom, right? When Jesus died. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. For right now, I simply want to remind you of this very clear truth from Scripture and reality, and that is our sin separates us from God. Our sin separates us from Him. We're on one side, He's on the other, and there's no way to get over to Him. We need a bridge. We need a bridge. And so what do? Once we realize this, what do? We do what comes naturally. We pick up a tool belt, we strap it on, we put on a hard hat, and we start building the bridge. That's what we do. What does a bridge look like that you're building, that you've built? Many of us spent years building a bridge, trying to cross over to God. We build bridges of our own good behavior. We think somehow that our good behavior, doing good things, will outweigh our sin, enabling us to cross over to God. We give to charity. We donate our time. We clean up our act and we perform religious acts and duties. We attend church, we get involved, we do things. All the while, we're doing this as a way to build a bridge so that hopefully, by the end of our life, we'll have done enough good that it will enable us to overcome all of our sin and come over to the other side where God is, and He will allow us into His presence. The problem is, we never know if the bridge is done or complete. And so we have to keep building and building and building and hoping and wondering. And even at the very end, if that's our hope and that's where our faith lies, we aren't sure if it's enough. And this is where the good news of the gospel comes in. This is where the good news comes in. It's that God, in His mercy and grace, He took the initiative to build a bridge to span that gap. He came to us and enabled us to cross back over to Him. Well, when did He build that bridge? He built that bridge when He sent Jesus. When He sent Jesus. Jesus is the bridge, and the Bible makes it clear. It says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom for all men. He is the mediator, the bridge, the person who enables us to come from the side where we are and all the sin that separates us to cross over to where God is. It's Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He is the bridge. How did He build that bridge? Well, He gave Himself a ransom for us. He died on our behalf. He represented us. Being fully God, He's able to come in His holiness, as we were singing. He lived a sinless life, but being fully man, He could represent us. And in His death and resurrection, He provided a way for us to cross over to God. And the result then is very clear. It says in 1 Peter 3, Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, and there it is, to bring you to God, to bring you to God. Because we were not with God, we were separated from God, but he sent Jesus as the mediator. He gave himself a ransom. He died so that we could cross over to God. So I ask you in your mind's eye if you can see that bridge now, the bridge that God has constructed. It's a long bridge. It's a narrow bridge. It has cross beams, and it's in the shape of a cross. The bridge to God is the cross of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ is proof that the construction project is completed. It's completed. He is the bridge. Jesus is the bridge, our living bridge to God. Northwest India is one of the wettest places on the planet. There in the highlands, the mountain ranges along that part of the country, rainfall accumulation one year set a record, a world record, 82 feet of rain. It's a very, very wet place. Naturally, it's hard to stay dry, but more than staying dry, it's hard to stay connected because during the monsoon season, when most of the rain comes, those tiny little creeks and rivers, like around here, they immediately are filled, overflowing. They swell and become raging torrents that carve deeper valleys, separating people. And there's no way to build bridges across them with traditional methods. Wood structures would rot. It's too remote to use concrete or steel as we do. So the people there came up with a very ingenious solution. They built living bridges out of trees. On one bank of a river, they would take a small strangler tree, plant the tree, and they would carefully cultivate the roots when they got large enough to be longer and longer till they could stretch across to the other side, and then they would implant it in the ground on the other side and do the same on that side back to this side. They would weave them together back and forth. It took a long, long time, but they did this. Eventually, they were able then to put some earth on it, and it became a bridge that would support human traffic. Amazing ingenuity. It's remarkable. You can go online and see picture after picture of these bridges. There are some that are actually double-deckers, like right here in Pittsburgh. Reportedly, the longest of these bridges is a mile long. And at some points, spans gaps that are over 2,000 feet. Amazing bridges. My friends, I think that's a picture of what God has done for us. Jesus, the Son of God, is rooted in heaven from eternity past, and God sent him here and planted him here on earth, and he became a man like you and me, took up flesh, and he died for us and has gone back to heaven after his resurrection. He's provided a way for us to cross over to God. Isn't that wonderful news? That's what God has done. How do we cross that bridge? How do we cross that bridge? The bridge of Jesus. We cross the bridge by faith. By faith. By putting our trust in him. The Bible says it's by grace you're saved through faith. It is the gift of God so that no one can boast. There'll be no placards on your bridge when you get to heaven with your name designed by Bob Brannan. You know, none of that, no boasting. All boasting is in the Lord. It's in Jesus. Because he's the only way we will ever cross over to God. We cross over by faith. And so that means that we all have a decision to make. Every one of us. And the decision is this. Am I going to continue my construction project, or am I going to take off that tool belt, remove my hard hat, and put my full weight of trust on the bridge of Jesus. And believe with all my heart that when he came and died, he died for me. And it was my sin, all the sin that I have committed, and my sin nature that causes me to sin is what nailed him to that cross. And I'm trusting in that alone, that when he died, he took all my sin, and now I have forgiveness. Now I can walk in holiness toward a holy God. That's the decision we all have to make. And you might say, well, what happens if I cross that bridge? What happens in my life? Oh, there's such wonderful joy and freedom. It's like such a relief. You know that you're forgiven. You don't have to keep trying and hoping and working and striving. And, oh, I hope I've done enough. You could say, God, I know that you love me and you've accepted me because of what Jesus did. And you have this wonderful life and relationship with God through Jesus. And my friends, this is what we need. This is what you need, I need. This is what our nation needs. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. So as we close, I want you to look at two bridges. Two bridges. Just take a moment and analyze your life. The bridge that you've tried to construct, the things that you've done on your own, trying to gain merit, so that you can cross over to God. And then I want you to look at the bridge that God built. And I want to ask you, which bridge are you on today? Which bridge are you on today? And wouldn't it be great if right now, this morning, on this day, you could say, you know what? I'm done with my own building project. I'm done. And so I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to try on my own strength to somehow appease a holy God. I'm done with that. I'm going to embrace and put my trust in the bridge that he has built. I'm going to rest in that. You see, that's where it all begins. That's where all the peace that we are longing for in our own hearts and among people, that's where it all begins, when we enter into peace with God through Jesus Christ. And so on this very first day of this series, as we begin thinking about bridges between God and between people, I want to make sure that you have crossed over the bridge to God, the bridge of Jesus. Would you do that today? If you've never done it, or maybe you're not sure, you think, well, I don't know if I've ever really done that. I'm not sure. Would you today just simply say, I'm done, God. I realize I can't do enough. I turn away from my effort and all the things I've done that have separated me from you, and I simply trust in what you've done when you sent Jesus. Just say that in your heart to him. And so there's two things as we close, two things that I'm asking you to do based upon the truth of God's word. Number one, cross the bridge to Christ. Cross the bridge to God. Put your trust in Christ. And it's very, very important that you make public testimony, that you let it be known that you've done that. So I'm asking you to let us know today, let me know, let us know that you've done that. And I ask you to do it simply by texting the number. It's our prayer number. You can just text the number 412-874-3670. Say, I crossed the bridge to Jesus today. Would you do that? Just take out your phone. Say, I crossed the bridge to Jesus, the bridge of Jesus today, so that we can pray for you and encourage you and help you as you continue to walk with God. That's the first thing. Get your heart right with God. Cross over that bridge. But there's something else I want to ask you to do, and this takes us forward into the coming weeks, and that is this. I'm going to ask you right now today to commit yourself to becoming a bridge builder. Would you commit yourself to becoming a bridge builder? Not a bridge to God, bridge to other people. Because you see, that's what God does. That's his nature. God is relational. He wants to have a relationship with us and people. He wants us to be in relationships with one another that are healthy and good. And so when we cross that bridge and we have peace with God, the first thing he does is he moves in our hearts so that we then become bridge builders to other people. And we see that in the life of Jesus. That's how he lived his life. And beginning next week, we're going to look at some examples of Jesus building bridges, crossing cultural barriers, breaking down political correctness of his day so that people can be connected in personal relationships. So would you commit yourself to being a bridge builder rather than a wall builder? Let's take a moment right now and pray. I want to give you a moment to pray, and then we're going to stand. We're going to have a benediction. We're going to be dismissed. But would you just right now in your heart pray? And I again urge you, if you've never given your life to Jesus, right now, today, this is the day. Just say yes. Say yes. Yes, I trust you, Jesus. I'm done with trying to do it myself. I trust you today. I put my trust in your death and resurrection. Would you do that right now? Father God, you are so wonderful and so good. We know that nothing we could ever do could cross that divide between us and you. And yet in your mercy and your goodness, you crossed it for us. We thank you today for that. Thank you for the gift of forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hope that you give us. Thank you that we can have peace with God, with you today in our hearts. That transcends all the issues in our personal lives, in our relationships, and in our culture. It transcends all of that, giving us a peace that the world can't even understand. And God, we desperately need that today. So as we, many of us, reaffirm our thanksgiving for the bridge to God of Jesus, may that come today with a wonderful, fresh, powerful sense of peace. Peace, oh God, come. May it come from you by your Spirit. As we walk into this week, Father, would you give us a heart for people? People different than we are. Even people who do not like us, perhaps, don't like what we stand for or believe. God, give us your heart for them. Help us to love them. God, would you make us bridge builders to be part of the solution to the problem that our nation faces by representing you well this week. Now fill us with your Spirit and may your blessing rest upon us as we depart from this place, as we gather together in the lobby. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.